Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You're listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Hello and welcome to episode 51 of the LA Rams UK podcast. This is our first special recording we have to offer you this off-season. We thought we'd speak to fellow Rams fans, get their insight into the team, see what may differ from our opinions and our views, which unfortunately you've heard us bang on about for the last 50 episodes. And today, obviously, we've got a first guest of the year, and what a first guest that is. So some you may know of her shows from TalkSport here in the UK, but most of you, I'm sure, will recognise her from the NFL, Sky Sports coverage, obviously on the main broadcasts, but also most recently hosting the weekly highlight show NFL Overtime. So may I introduce Hannah Wilkes. Hannah, how are you?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to indulge my Rams fandom for a little bit. And I've even dressed for the occasion. There's no need to be neutral when I'm chatting Rams, so I've gone vintage vibes.
I love that. Love that. So we are recording this on Zoom, which you guys may know, obviously, from listening to the podcast. We normally record this on Skype, so we can actually see people as we're doing this, which is the world we now live in. Obviously, we are still here in lockdown in the UK, but hopefully there is light at the end of that tunnel when we can actually meet people in real life. But you obviously were doing things differently through this season as well, Hannah. But to start it from all, really, tell us about you, your career, how you got to that seat in NFL Overtime, basically.
I mean, how long have you got? I think people often get the impression that, like, you know, you sort of pop up and no idea what's gone before. But actually, this summer will mark sort of 10 years that I've been working at Sky. I guess the plotted, simplified version is that I got some work experience at Sky when I was at uni, basically refused to leave, started working as a runner, worked across every sport in the Sky Sports catalogue. That's actually how I sort of discovered the NFL as well. I didn't grow up watching it, but I was a runner on the Bears-Bucks game at Wembley in 2011, and that's sort of where it started. I'm sure we could talk about that a bit more in a bit. Yeah, so I was a runner for a little while. Then I started kind of working as like a junior assistant producer. Sky launched a show called Game Changers, which is a family sports show. So I was part of the very first production team that did that, and it was so much fun. It was like just the best, like kids TV combined with sport, right in my wheelhouse. And I became a reporter on that show after a couple of years, and then started presenting it. And I think I presented it for about 3 years, and then was doing other reporting stuff around Sky as well. Started doing some digital stuff for the NFL. And it grew and grew from there, really, sort of doing weekly Facebook lives with the guys when they're in the office. And then started reporting on the London games, being in the studio for Thanksgiving and the playoffs. Then last summer when Sky announced its new 5-year deal and dedicated NFL channel throughout the season, and part of that deal is a commitment to sort of more original programming. And we wanted to do something that was for, you know, slightly newer fans, slightly more relaxed, with that attracting a new audience, because NFL is growing so much in this country. It's great to see, but we've got to attract new fans as well. And the NFL is great. And one of the reasons I love it as a sport is that the more you know about it, the more there is to know. But also as well, we've got to be careful that we don't alienate people that are just getting into it. So we started Overtime to kind of give a slightly different look back at the weekend. So there's highlights in there, there's social media reaction, there's the fun side of the NFL as well, because I think above all, although it is great sport, NFL is fantastic entertainment. So it was great. So we did that, did our first season. It went very quickly. It was a lot of fun, really proud of what we created. And I say can't wait for September. I'm sure it'll come around very quickly and I'll be like, oh God, kind of wish I'd enjoyed the off season a bit more. but looking forward to getting going again in, what is it now? We're in March, so April, May, June, about 5 months' time.
5 months, yeah. And hopefully back in the studio at that point and being able to sit on those sofas again.
I really hope so. So we were so fortunate, actually, when we started Overtime. It was September and we were sort of out of lockdown then, weren't we? It was just restrictions.
Yeah.
And even through the November lockdown, it was more relaxed than the first one. So it was very much TV production could continue and we were okay to go in. It wasn't until we hit January and we went into proper lockdown again that we had to start recording it from home, which obviously we were fairly gutted because the nature of the show, me, Josh, and we had Jeff Reinbold as our guest at that point of the season, we bounced off each other and that's so much harder to do remotely with delays. So I think we were all quite apprehensive about it, but actually I think in a weird way it almost brought us a bit like closer and I think the show still worked. Obviously we are raring. I mean, it was just typical, wasn't it? That was as the playoffs started and you get to the crux of the season, we all have to be separate. But hey, it was done to make sure that we're keeping everyone safe and minimising the amount of people that had to be in Sky so that everything that physically cannot come off air doesn't. You know what? I'm really even more proud of what we managed to achieve doing 5 or 6 shows from home. But yeah, my living room has seen more airtime than I ever intended.
And very nice it is too.
To do. Well, thanks. I mean, what can I say? I have great taste.
Social media has probably give you a little bit more tips on what maybe cushion covers to have in next season, but we'll see how it goes.
To be honest, I think this is, I really hope we're back. I mean, if roadmap goes to plan, then there should be no reason why we're not back in the studio. I'm very happy with my living room. I was happy before it needed to become a TV studio. It works well now. It does have to occasionally be one, so it will not be changing.
Good stuff. And like you say, that from when I obviously started and obviously following that yourself and seeing obviously what you've done on Sky and stuff, and to see that the deal that they've now got with the NFL is superb for the fans, obviously, over here in the UK. And the show, the overtime show, I think you did a great job. I think all the guys did a great job. Jeff Reinfeld made me cry on one episode, which you're obviously fully aware of on that one.
Me too. Yeah, I've never, for those that don't know.
I don't
know,
think anyone was ready for that.
No, and the thing, Jeff was on with me and Phoebe Schechter, who is a female NFL coach. And I did the usual, hi, welcome. Said something about football and Jeff was like, I don't want to talk about football, I want to talk about you guys, and said the most wonderful, kind, beautiful things about Phoebe and myself. And he kind of hinted to me he was going to mention it, but I thought he was literally just going to be like, I'm on the sofa with two women, this is awesome. I have to say actually that I've never needed to get to highlights so quickly as I did. We had the results on the weekend. And I literally was just like, here are the results, play the highlights. Because I'm quite an emotional person. But the knock-on from that, there was such a huge response to it from social media and people responding to what he said that it was really overwhelming. And it was, I'm getting all goosebumpy again thinking about it. It was really incredible because people have been so kind. Generally, you're always going to get some stick in this game. That's part of the course. But generally, people have been so kind and so complimentary of what I've been doing and over time, what me and Josh have done on that. And then what Jeff said from that, the things people said, it was really overwhelming and it was really humbling. And it was quite incredible.
It was a great comment from where it comes up. Someone like him who has been in the game for so long, it wasn't just an off the cuff comment. He showed it was a real meaning to it.
And he said,
and
as
I
well,
tweeted it. I tweeted at the time and he liked it. So did Phoebe, I think yourself as well. I met Jeff a few years back at Twickenham when we were at the game against the Giants, and he's just a really nice guy. He's out there for everybody. And I think you get that across the screen. And when he obviously said what he said for yourself, it just shows that the game is for anybody.
Absolutely. As all sports should be. And I have to say for Jeff Reinbold, he is a diamond of a human being. There is nothing he wouldn't do for people. And anything that has people getting involved and enjoying football, he is there for, and he's just a wonderful human, and he gets to live in Hawaii in the off season.
Well, yeah, I was just about to say that. A little less social media envy of showing him on the beach in Hawaii on a weekly basis could be a little, but there we go. So you obviously mentioned there that it's nice to have you on because you are a fellow Ram. Why the Rams?
Why the Rams? That is a great question, Chris. So as I mentioned, I hadn't had anything to do with the NFL or watched the NFL or any American football, really, bar being at uni and knowing there was a team, kind of seeing that they'd do things occasionally, but not know much about it until I began working at Sky. And that's sort of where I got into it and started following it a bit more casually. Yeah. And it wasn't until about 2015, 2016 that like I kind of got really, really, like really yeah. into it. And I've been jumping around since I started watching it, like, right, who's going to be my team? Tried on a few for size and just didn't quite sit right. And then I've got a friend out in the States who had some, is a Steelers fan, had some very strong opinions as to who I could and couldn't support. And yeah, the Rams, I think it was around the time that they were on like Hard Knocks the first time and All yep. or Nothing. And watching those and feeling like you get to know the team a little bit. And I was like, well, I've been to LA as well, so it feels more legit. And they were moving from St. Louis at the time. Yep. So kind of needing more fans. Yeah. And as it turns out, the colours, actually, these are my primary school uniform colours. So it brings back some
right, okay.
So yeah, it was just that really. It was like I tried on a few teams for size, hadn't quite felt it. And watching those documentaries, which is why I love documentaries like that, because you do really feel like you get to know
definitely, yeah.
people involved. And when you haven't grown up with a sport and you don't have those like those backstories and those histories, I think that you need that personal kind of connection really. So yeah, and then as it turns out as well, I've seen more Rams games than any other team just by kind of chance, so it's
yeah, and it's that was obviously well. It probably yeah definitely did work well for you, obviously with the moving and everything like that. That then put them into the international game series, which obviously then brought them over to the UK, which was great for all of us over here. But there's two things that I obviously want to bring up on that. So yeah, there's the London games, which you will have attended through Sky. But you also attended Super Bowl 53. Now, that's using your perks.
That was a work trip through and through.
Of course it was.
No, it really was. And actually, yes, I mean, it was quite... I'm still surprised that I managed to get that one okay. So that was what, a couple of years ago now? And that was, we were still doing Game Changers, our kids' sports show. Okay. And earlier on, like 6 months before... we were sort of looking at how we do it, and we'd basically decided that the most effective way to make a show like that is to really tie it to big Sky events, because then it's kind of,
yeah,
it had cross-sport promotion and all the rest of it. So and previously we'd done a show, we'd gone to schools, this, that, and the other, but we decided the way forward for it was to tie it to events. So I think in like the September, I was like, oh, we should do one from the Super Bowl. And the producer at the time went, yeah, we should. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, yeah, no, definitely. We should. Could you start looking into it? And I was like, Yes, I can. And it just so happened as well that was the year that I sort of was doing even more than I had previously with our coverage.
Yeah.
I think that was the first year that I was in the studio for Thanksgiving and the playoffs, and we only had two or three London games that year. They all start to merge after a while. And I've been sidelined for all of them. So I've been much more involved with it. And then you have the luck as well, but it's your team. So it was a work trip. We got there on the Tuesday evening.
I'm not sure if you keep saying this to put it to yourself or to make it actually work.
It was. You can still watch the Game Changers Super Bowl special. I wrote the show, I filmed the show, presented the show, edited the show. And it's, I have to say, we did a lot of episodes of Game Changers, and that one is one that I'm particularly proud of. And it was great because we were obviously there filming content for a younger audience, which meant that we got to see a side of it that doing the coverage you don't usually see. So I got to spend a lot of time at the fan park trying out all the games and challenges. There is definitely a reason I talk about sport and I'm not an athlete. And there is some embarrassing video to prove it. But it was great as well because there are so many events that go on around the Super Bowl, even just in the community. So at like local schools, they have these like, you know, they'd have played 60 events. So we got to go into those as well. So we got to go to like a proper American middle school where they were putting on all these activities for the kids, and they had the marching band and they had their cheerleaders, and the kids were all really excited to get involved as well. So, yeah, it was a really amazing week. The game was stressful, but...
it was forgettable, I'd like to call it.
It was what?
Forgettable, I'd like to say, maybe.
I have to say... I've said this before. If I'd been sat at home on my sofa, I'd have definitely fallen asleep, 100%. But being there, when you've got that belief that any second, because it was so low scoring,
anything
any little breakthrough, it was going to go the other way. And because it was 87%, if not more, Patriots fans. So there weren't many Rams fans in the building.
Okay.
And I was actually sat in the press seat where you have to restrain yourself and be, you know, professional. So yeah, you did just have this belief that any second something could break through, but it was frustrating. But at the same time, I guess I was lucky to see Brady doing his thing and making what was history at the time, and he's already topped it.
Yeah, so, forget about yeah. him. Forget
Very
about
lucky.
Him.
Very lucky. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. I'll be at another one soon. I have got my eye on SoFi next year. I really think overtime needs to be there.
Well, if you need someone to carry those bags, if you're presenting, you know where I am.
I've got a waiting list, but I'll put you on it.
I'm not quite sure how long that's going to be. You mentioned there, obviously, about game changers and then doing the sort of different coverage. How did you think that the NFL managed the Nickelodeon situation then this year? Do you see that as their option of that?
I mean, well, they took it to... Well, I don't think they're quite comparable.
Yeah,
that was a half-hour pre-recorded show. Theirs was a completely bespoke broadcast. I thought it was fantastic. Like I said earlier, you've got to keep attracting new fans and young fans. And... you know, in this country, partly because of the time difference, obviously, you're always going to struggle to get kids watching NFL, like, unless you've got very irresponsible parents and lax bedtimes. But even out in the States, the games are so long that I think you have to work a bit harder to be keeping kids engaged and interacted and enjoying it, because, you know, 3 hours is a long time. So I thought it was great. I thought it was a lot of fun. I think from what I could see on Twitter, there was definitely a huge millennial audience that was enjoying it.
Yeah.
But no, I think anything that opens up a sport to a new audience, a younger audience, especially when you look at kids now and sports across the board, you're competing with so much screen time and and gadgets. And I think it was a great way to get them.
Well, the world of social media is changing everything, isn't it? So the amount that you can actually access on demand is completely changing it. And I think that's where you've got to then hit your younger audience, because like you say, especially in the UK, that's where the kids are probably going to see it more on an on-demand option.
Yeah, and what I've seen as well is when the NFL does come over, not even just for the London games, I mean, usually this time of year, there'd be some players coming over and doing some outreach in schools.
Yeah.
And you really do see it have an impact, particularly when it's the London game weeks and they go to schools and or have kids along with their training sessions, because they'll still put the best players out throwing a ball around with kids, and you can see their faces light up and they're then like getting it and they're going, oh, hold, like not knowing anything about the sport. And then the player tells them who they are and what they do. And I think the NFL is really good at that, really good at that. So
they are. Yeah. The community is definitely one thing that they are really, really good at.
Yeah.
You mentioned the London games. You obviously have covered them for Sky. Hopefully they will be back this year with fans in the stadiums, let's hope. Not sure if the Rams will be over there this year. I doubt it, if I'm truthfully honest.
I think so.
But what's been your take on them? And that obviously it's a completely different audience, and where you said you're obviously sitting in Super Bowl 53, it's a very much 80-20 potentially. The London games is something completely different, which actually I've attended the Rams in the last two or three that they've had. And the feedback you get from the people that actually come over from LA, they love it.
Yeah.
Because it's so different than what they're used to.
Yeah, I love them. I miss them so much this autumn. There's this chunk of October time usually that's just utter chaos. You don't know what day it is, and it's so much fun because it's just go, go, go. And they are just, their celebrations of football, the players often say it, all the media that come over from the States say it. The only ever time where you see all 32 jerseys is at the Super Bowl, and you get that at the London games. Probably even more so than a Super Bowl, really. In fact, definitely. So you have every team represented. I've seen it as well amongst friends and family, that people, you know, they kind of get a ticket or their friend's got an extra ticket, so they like go along and then they are hooked and they are in it. And I think people love the show around it, the spectacle around it. I think they're fantastic. They are. And it's really interesting. Now last time we had them at Wembley and at Tottenham, and Tottenham is set up so well for them. Like, honestly, it's just an incredible stadium. And it was phenomenal to do them there. And then at Wembley, you have more of a tailgate, and you've got that
area. Well, as much as every time you go to Wembley, a new high rise appears. So let's hope the tailgate can still continue.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, but no, they're fantastic, and I love being a part of them, and really hope they're back this year, because they're just a big football party, and everyone gets so excited over here. All the media from the States are so excited. The players get so pumped. I think they all know now, because all the teams apart from the Packers have been over. But particularly those teams that have been over in recent years and maybe hadn't been for a few before that, or players hadn't experienced it before, like the younger players coming through were like, they told us it was crazy, but this is something else, because they just appreciate how passionate the UK and knowledgeable the UK fan base is. They really do. It's great. I want them back, please.
Definitely so. And obviously with us, the Rams being over here, so I did the Giants game, Cardinals game, and obviously the last one being the Bengals. It was the day before, when you've obviously got the teams meeting up, and obviously with Regent Street is second to none as well, and having the fans sort of the thing, that it was great. And as much as we can do with that, the better. It's not tailgating like you know it in the States, don't get me wrong, I get that, but we're trying.
Yeah, you know what, we have to take these traditions and put your own spin on them.
Definitely so. Let's talk Rams. What is, well, you obviously see it from a more of a maybe a broadened view, but how did you feel that the Rams were this year and how they performed then?
I think massively exceeded expectations. I remember last summer kind of looking at a lot of preview pieces and listening to a lot of preview podcasts, and bar Greg Rosenthal of the Around the NFL podcast, most people, I have to give Greg that shout out because he's had foresight, a lot of people were very much writing the Rams off and kind of, you know, saying NFC West, tough division, which we know it is, but, you know, it's not going to be the Rams year. So the fact that we got through to the divisional round, I mean, I wouldn't say I enjoyed watching the Rams at any point this season. It was stressful. I think the stress started that Bills game really early on.
Yeah.
When, you know, it could have gone either way, and there were a couple of questionable calls which affected both teams, and the Bills just got it. I never once enjoyed watching the Rams play this year. Bar, I've got to say, bar the wild card round against Seattle. Was that the wild card game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. When Jared Goff wasn't playing, that was actually when I enjoyed watching the Rams play.
I'll get on to that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching John Wolford. I thought he gave us something really different. So I love watching our defense. I think our defense was great. I think they're young, I think they're exciting. I think we did much better than expected. But it was frustrating viewing at times and not enjoyable.
No, I think you probably hit the nail on the head there. Sometimes it's definitely a stressful few hours watching the Rams. Yes. It's that old cliche, is it? I think, oh yeah, we're going to do really well today. And then you're 21 points down in the second, and it's like, oh, okay, no, we've got this to do again.
Yeah, I just never, put it this way, I kind of preferred it when we were playing defense, because I knew like something magic might happen. We'd probably disrupt some plays. And I've always defended Jared Goff quite a lot, but I'm not going to miss watching him on third down. I'm not going to lie. I've always found that immensely stressful.
And well, let's get straight into that. Then when you've seen the Matthew Stafford situation come about, Were you expecting it then when it actually happened or not?
No, that was a bizarre week. And it never ceases to amaze me how quickly people expect you to have a hot take and insight. So it was Sunday morning. I think I was having a bit of a lie-in. About 9 o'clock, I woke up and did what you're not supposed to do. It's first thing, pick up phone, scroll through Twitter.
Definitely so.
And I was like, you know, you literally think you've got sleep in your eyes. You're like, what? Had to read it a few times, and I was like, what on earth? Because that week, I think the Tuesday of that week is when Sean McVay had been saying, we're going to have a competition for quarterback this offseason.
Yeah.
Yes, he'd said Jared Goff is our quarterback at the moment, which always sounded like a death knell. But I was like, okay, quarterback competition. Like, I'm on the John Wolford bandwagon, and I want to see him put in a case here. So yeah, it surprised me. Everyone, yeah, just because it was so sudden more than anything. Once it had digested, and initially I was like, oh, I don't know if that's that much of an upgrade. Partly because I haven't watched that much Matthew Stafford. The last few years, the Lions haven't been competitive, haven't really been up there. You see moments of brilliance, which are all down to him, but they're not a team that sort of dominate the conversation.
Yeah, that's it.
But you go back through and you look at what he's capable of and you think, actually, with some weapons, some protection, he's definitely more mobile than Jared Goff. He can scramble. He can run the ball. So I think... I feel good about it now. What I didn't like was how quick people were to sort of slam Jared Goff, because I think he has been treated, since that Super Bowl performance, I think he's been treated quite unfairly. Like, don't get me wrong, he's not an elite quarterback, or at least hasn't been, but he's done a job. I think he's not terrible.
No, and I think you're exactly right what you say.
He's just unfortunately for him, he's very much the missing piece. If we'd had a much worse season, and you know, receivers were dropping catches, or you know, it was just disastrous all over the thing, I think he'd probably have stayed. But when the defense is this good and the pieces are coming, and it, you know, watching it go, it's the quarterback play, because you saw the difference with Wolford when you had, in a way, I think that maybe was what did it. Because you saw what that offense could do, and Stafford had no answer because it was so unexpected. So I think that ultimately that thumb injury probably cost him.
I think that was his sort of the point, wasn't it? When he was injured, he came for the actual game. I think it was the Seattle game. He got injured, then against the Cardinals, he was, and then the Seattle game. Obviously, he came back in the wild card game, which Jared Goff was fit to be on the bench. That to me sort of was like, okay. I think that's now to the point where he's now moving to the point that he probably will see the exit.
And what I would say as well is, it's very easy to very quickly dismiss him, but I'm already forgetting what order it was. So it was wild card was Seattle. Yes?
Yeah, that's when he got injured. He was benched for that game and then came into it when Wolford got hit in the head. It was the regular season game. The regular season game that he got injured his thumb and carried on. Wolford played the last game against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And then the wild card, obviously Wolford started, and then Jared Goff came back in.
That's where I got myself confused. It was that Cardinals game that you saw what Wolford could bring and how different their rounds could look. That was exciting. Obviously started quite similarly for the Seahawks game. What I think is very easy to forget is Jared Goff going into that Seahawks game and getting the Rams through it with a thumb that was still hanging off. Yes, there were a few rogue balls, and that was because he didn't have his movement, but he still did enough of a job there. And I think that shows tremendous grit. So I think it's very easy to sort of dismiss him entirely, but actually, you know, he's done some great stuff for the Rams, and I hope it goes well for him in Detroit.
Well, that's it. He, rightly or wrongly, but like you say, people give him some stick. He took us to a Super Bowl. He did. A lot of people say, obviously, it's because Sean McVay's in his ear until 15 seconds.
I think that's part of the problem. I've actually said this before. I actually think Sean McVay being in his ear so much has been part of his problem. Because if you look at the passages of play where they're sort of playing no huddle and just going and going and going, and he's not having all that, it actually plays better. Like, you know, you saw that in that Seattle game. There were a few passages of play where it was no huddle. And he's just playing more instinctive football.
Yeah.
And I think in a way, because we know Sean McVay, for all his offensive brilliance, he is a coach that will talk until the last second possible, which I think possibly maybe
during game and during interviews.
So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic works with him with Stafford. He's obviously a much more experienced quarterback, and whether they have to sort of readjust
Just that a little bit.
And I think that sort of comes, I think, and it's something I mentioned on one of our last podcasts, was the amount of coaching changes as well. I think they have really looked at this team now. Jared Goff has gone out the door. Matthew Stafford's come in. They've looked at the coaches and thought, right, how do we actually build the back office now that's going to help the team moving forward? And I think that's going to, for me, that's the only reason why there's been so many changes.
Yeah, and I think as well, losing Brandon Staley, I mean, with the season that he had, of course, he's going to get a new job.
Yeah, it's huge.
And the defense, I don't think, should drop too much because of the talent that you know, there's a lot going on, and you just hope, you know, you go and get Stafford in the way you did because you know it's time to win the next 2 years. And you can't waste Aaron Donald's best years.
Exactly. And that's the thing.
All the other people, and you brought in Jalen Ramsey for a huge cost, you've got to make that payoff. So it is now. So
Where Mr. Les Snead starts earning his money. We've obviously got some cat space still to deal with, but you see a lot of the thing that I was looking over the weekend. Well, obviously we've heard, and a lot of people on this podcast know I have some sort of connection to the Saints, as much as we don't like that, as my brother-in-law is on the Saints podcast over here as well. Obviously, Drew Brees retiring last night. They've restructured Taysom Hill's contract and managed to get rid of 40 million cap space. I don't think I will ever understand cap space, if I'm truthfully honest with them. And it's just too much of a headspace to do it.
I spend a lot of time in the off season when it is quiet trying to get my head around it. And so far, I'm fairly unsuccessful. there are obviously ways around it, and how you structure contracts has a huge impact on it. But I mean,
I think Brady's another one who's restructured his contract. I don't get it. Let them crack on and we'll see how we work out on the 1st of September.
Many reasons that one.
They get paid the big bucks. That's the reason for it. But what we'll see, 2021, obviously it's going to be, again, a different season than last year. Obviously there was not that many crowds, obviously, again, in their stadiums last year. So I think 2021 is going to be a very different season. And we've obviously got the draft coming up as well. And do you expect the Rams to, obviously we don't get a draft pick till about day 14, as per usual. But I don't know, we obviously picked up some good rookies last year, which weren't in the first round. Do you hopefully see that again?
Yeah, I think what the Rams are really good at, and there's a lot made about the lack of draft picks. You know, Jared Goff was our last first round draft pick. We're not going to have another one until what, 2024 now?
Something like that.
And a lot gets made about that. But I think actually if you look at what the Rams has been able to do with either undrafted free agents, late round draft picks, I think they're very good at identifying talent and developing talent. So it doesn't worry me. You look at some of the players that were impressive this year, and a lot of them were undrafted, and they've done the job. So I don't get too concerned or head up about the draft. First round draft picks, it can be a poison malice, really. Goff.
Yeah, exactly. And there has been some good ones, don't get me wrong. But I think you're right. The back office has always been very good and picking the right players in the right positions. Yeah. It's the way the Rams do it. And it's the way that we've obviously got the blueprint to do it now. So it's not like we're just doing this on a one-off. We will see. And obviously it's a good place to obviously come into at SoFi Stadium, which I've now got as my background, which is great.
No, you're there, Chris. You're in it.
I'm in it, which I am probably one of the only people that has been in it, if I'm in this position at the minute, which not as of yet. I am kidding. I'm on about my Zoom background.
Oh, I thought you meant you'd had like a tour. And I was like, what?
No, but hopefully there will be people in that stadium this coming year.
Oh,
and
so.
What we see
so
from it, it's going to be unbelievable. It will be unbelievable. And they are using it as a vaccine centre at the moment, which I hear, which is a great reason for it to be there. So we will see it. And obviously, hopefully, well, Jared Goff has got to come to SoFi Stadium this coming season. So that'll be interesting to see if Mr. Donald has his way.
Oh, gosh. I hadn't thought of that element of it. Oh, no, that's going to be... It's going to be like, hi, buddy, how are you? I'm going to get you.
Just as he's about to smash him in the face.
Yeah.
We obviously saw another.
You know what's actually interesting? We saw some of Hard Knocks last summer when they were training, and I think that was one of the first times that Jared had actually said that he was actually up against Donald for whatever reason. He's like, he is so fast, and he was talking off camera like he's so quick. He's just insane. He kind of knows, and he's obviously not allowed to hit him when he's his own quarterback in training camp. So he kind of knows what's coming.
Yeah, he's not human. Simple as that. You watch him training and on the social media this weekend, the guy's just a machine. But I've got a lot of love for AD, and everyone knows that. but no, we will see. Going back to the Sky coverage, obviously we've got you here, so we can only ask you questions. 2021, how's it going to look? Any gossip for us or any changes?
I have nothing. Do you know what? I have no information.
Nothing.
I'll be perfectly honest. When it gets to end of the Super Bowl and the last few shows have done, everyone takes a break. So everyone involved with the channel, you'd be surprised at how small the team is that puts the NFL on your screen. So they work so incredibly hard from like July really through to mid-February. So everyone's been having a well-earned break. So no, I have no news. Except that the channel will be coming back, of course, and we'll try and make it bigger and better than ever.
Superb. Well, we've obviously got free agency coming up, or the end of free agency happening, and we've got, as we stand now, and obviously we've got JJ Watt coming into the division as well, which will be interesting to see. He says he wants to win a ring. Probably not the best place to have gone to done that, but there you go.
Do you know, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because there was so much hype about the Cardinals last summer, and then they played really well for chunks of the season, but then it just didn't quite come together, which is a good thing if you're a Rams fan, because it's a hard division anyway. So between that and the 49ers being ravaged by injury, it definitely helped us. Let's not be coy about this. It helped. Him in the division, it's... reuniting with D-Hop, it's all it's very interesting, isn't it? I'm basically waiting to see what happens in the quarterback situation at 49ers and Seattle, because I think
the Seattle one kind of took me a bit by surprise, if I'm honest with you. Because you always see Russell Wilson as the settled party there. So it'd be interesting to see how that works.
The tidbits that are kind of coming out about how they run things, and he's been vocal for a while, hasn't he, about wanting more of a say and being listened to in terms of who they bring in. There's just some tidbits coming out as to how things are running that it's interesting.
Well, shall we say it's a little bit more muted than maybe at Houston at the current situation?
Yeah, I mean, that one. All I will say is, please, Seattle, if you do decide that time is right to let go of Russell Wilson, please don't sign. Please don't sign Sean Watson.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. No, that would be... not that, yeah.
Deshaun Watson is one of my favourite quarterbacks in the league. I remember floating as an idea that maybe the Rams would bring in Watson for God, and everyone laughed at me, and then they didn't see the Stafford thing coming. And I have to say, a lot of the whole, well, if that's what Matt Stafford's worth, then that's really going to push up Deshaun Watson. No, it's not. Deshaun Watson's value was already sky high.
Definitely.
That was less about what Stafford was worth and more about what it was going to cost to get rid of Goff.
Yeah.
Because of the deal he was on. So I was sad that didn't come to fruition, but I would like Watson, go east.
Good stuff. What the one final point, and a lot of the people that listen to this podcast will know, and I get very jealous on a weekly basis of you, because you get to speak to Kay Adams a lot.
This comes up a lot with a lot of gentlemen podcasters. They have
quite
this jealousy.
Jealous, and I'm a happily married man. But if you want to introduce us, I haven't got an issue with that. Mm-hmm. But how is that? She's obviously massive over there. We're still watching Good Morning Football every day at the moment. She's a bit of a phenomenon herself, isn't she? And how do you find that, speaking to her across the pond?
Oh, we have the most fun. I miss her. We haven't spoken for like a month. And I said to her, we're going to have to think of, you know, make sure we keep up these like weekly chats. she's great. She, um, She's so much fun to talk to. For someone that gets up at like 3:30 in the morning, does a 3-hour live show, and then there's another show afterwards. She's always got so much energy. I don't know how she does it. She's great fun. She's really, really so excited by our NFL channel, by the fact that Good Morning Football's on over here. They're really thrilled and love knowing that they've got UK and Irish fans watching. And it's been great to have her as a part of Overtime and to sort of
chat
with her. We often get derailed and we kind of have the producer going, we do need to talk football. We only got 5 minutes, and me and Harry.
So how long is that chat normally? How long is that chat normally? What's actually the
editing? Do you know what? It's pretty much what you see.
Oh, okay.
Like there's like a couple of minutes beforehand because we're kind of recording it as part of our Overtime recording slot, and she's really busy. So it's one of those like, we could definitely do half an hour, but we've literally got this very small window.
There's a podcast in itself, the Hannah and Kate show. We could see it happening.
We could do an Across the Pond.
I think there's already one called that.
There is, isn't there? There are so many NFL podcasts. Guys, let's consolidate a few, shall we?
Yeah. Well, we are here obviously doing what we can do in relation to the Rams. And I can only thank you for your time and obviously coming on to this with us. It's great to see, obviously, like I said before, what you're doing on there and showing the Rams. And obviously on your social media accounts, you do put it out there that you are a Rams fan. There's some people that work in the media that don't want to show what teams they support, but we appreciate that.
I get what people do, and I'm always really careful, but when I'm on telly, I try and remain neutral. One of the joys of Overtime is that you're sort of given a bit more free reign. So when the Rams lost to the Jets, I was allowed to have a rant. but I think as well, for me, I try and remain neutral when I need to be, but ultimately, I'm a fan. And I'm in the best position a fan can be in, getting to, you know, talk about the sport for a living.
Yeah, definitely.
And do you know what? I think most guys are still the same. You know, you talk to Neil Reynolds, he's a fan first and foremost. And he doesn't like it when the Dolphins don't do well. He puts on a professional face and carries on.
Oh, he does.
But yeah, I think we're all fans. That's why we do what we do. So you can't hide it completely.
But no, we definitely appreciate what you guys are doing on there. And Sky, I think some people have different opinions about the coverage you go into. Obviously, in what you said before, different people have different opinions about what you're doing. But I think it's good to obviously be able to see, people can see the game that we all love and want to be able to see. But it's a good thing.
And if I may, everyone's entitled to their opinions, but never underestimate the hard work and dedication and passion of every single person involved in bringing the NFL to the screens here, on camera and behind the scenes. Everyone works so hard. It's a huge team effort, and they just want to bring the coverage to life for everyone as best as they can. So be nice, be kind.
There we go.
Hard job.
Definitely so. But no, thank you, Hannah, obviously for that, and obviously everybody, thank you for listening. Hopefully, with this recording, we will actually pass 10,000 plays of our podcast for the people that obviously listen to this one. So thank you to all the new listeners and the people that have been with us from the start, you crazy people. But we will be back through the off season with a few more guests, and the rest of the guys will be back with me probably during draft week to discuss who we picked up in that, and obviously in free agency. But no, Hannah, thank you again for coming on and appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been fun.
Thanks, guys. Speak soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more, make sure you follow the guys on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Los Angeles Rams UK, or head to larams.uk for articles and merch.